Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a PhD degree in public policy, MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And a very good morning to you here in Greenville, South Carolina. The upstate weather for the moment in the mid-50s, going to get up only to 71 according to the Weather Service. Can we trust them today? Yesterday, once again, they were 5 or 10 degrees off. I don't know what it is about Greenville or the upstate weather, folks. I guess they just like people to feel they're not going to be as hot as it really is. At least according to my car's thermometer, and it certainly was more than 85 degrees or whatever they said it was going to be. It was much hotter, but anyway, or maybe that was the day before. You know, I get my days mixed up nowadays with the weather. At any rate, it's 56 degrees currently in Greenville. In other areas, might be a degree or two different, and like Anderson or Spartanburg, but up to only 71 today under sunny skies. So a good, nice day for you to be thinking about the outdoors while you're in there in your cubicles working today. Well, at any rate, welcome to Christian Worldview. Glad you've joined us this morning. Have, like usual, an exciting show on tap and in store for you today. I also wanted to let you know right up front that some folks have been saying, have been writing into the show and saying, look, been having trouble getting the signal in downtown Greenville. We're working on that right now, folks. And sometime this week, hopefully, maybe even tomorrow, who knows, we will have the full signal strength restored. And I say we, I'm talking about the Tyranny Response Network staff. Of course, you can't imagine me shimming up any poles or doing whatever's necessary to do that kind of stuff, and I don't. I'm just reporting on the facts, ma'am, and that's just what I'm telling you. There's some people who were getting strong signal before that are not getting it now, and just wanted to let you know that that is in the works, and sometime soon you're going to see even greater improvement. We have plans, or they have plans, I should say, to expand in other places of the upstate, too, so pretty soon we're going to end up hitting a signal to far more places. It's all part of the plan, and things are moving according to it, as even as we are dealing with things currently. Well, a couple of quick announcements before I go on to our first news story. Well, let me give you one news story. In fact, the producer and I were talking about Lindsey Graham this morning. This is an interesting whole issue. What do you think about Lindsey Graham? You know, there's a case to be made that we actually do not have a good senator because we have Lindsey Graham there siding with the Democrats. And there's a point to that can be made there. One can say, yeah, he sold us out and so forth. But who's the us here that he sold out? This is the real question I have. The us, as far as Lindsey Graham is concerned, would be the Republican Party. The Republican Party does not do much of anything at all for the values of the Founding Fathers or for liberty or for truly granting Christians something of the Christian worldview. So I don't really care what happens to the Republican Party. I know that's sort of an anathema. It's a bad thing to say for some people. They'll not like me for that. But that's all right. They already don't like me for a lot of other things at any rate. Of course, there are a lot of people who do. And it's a growing number. I hope to tip the scales a little bit. But ask yourself the question, folks, what has the Republican Party really done for you? Why should you be so mad at Lindsey Graham for bucking the Republican Party if that's your reasoning? Oh, because George W. Bush has been trying to get through all these conservative judges and these senators are trying to... Well, is that really so? From what I understand, I've listened to Chuck Baldwin yesterday at any rate. The only one of these appointments that can truly be called a conservative is this Justice Owen. The rest of them are a bunch of neocons and liberals like George W. Bush. So who cares? I mean, the Republican appointments to the judiciary have not really been... that great, have they? We've had abortion, even though Republicans have dominated federal benches. We've had extortionists and plundering through taxation and schemes that deny people liberty in terms of guns and all sorts of issues. So who cares if the Republicans don't get to appoint justices? I mean, what's the real difference between the two of them, folks? It's a pipe dream to believe that something else is happening on a conservative side when in reality just the opposite is happening. We're going down the drain. So my comment, my first thing to throw out to you is, you know, well, maybe Lindsey Graham isn't doing such a bad thing by keeping the traditional filibuster in there just so that we don't have this constant back and forth. Well, not constant, but that's so that the Republicans aren't gonna win and be able to put on their neocon agenda so forcefully. Now I realize the Democrat agenda isn't any better; it's probably even worse. But that, again, I'm not interested in pragmatism. So that it may be that Lindsey Graham has done the right thing. If you have a question or a comment about this, we'd love to hear from you because there can obviously be two sides to this issue of Lindsey Graham. Lindsey Graham, for those of you who don't know, is the South Carolina senator. Supposedly the more liberal of the two, although with immense support of CAFTA and all these other trade agreements, I tend to think that he's probably just as bad as Lindsey Graham. Supposed to be an evangelical too, and maybe he is, but certainly very deceived on some of these issues. Well, there's two sides to the Lindsey Graham issue. If you want to talk about it, we're interested in talking with you about it. Number of the backup lines, what's working this week here at the studio, 864-201-6955. You can disregard the number that comes in the announcement. It's in our regular programming loop still because we plan at some point of restoring our phone number here. Currently, 864-201-6955 is the phone number. One quick announcement, as I said. Are you tired of politicians who raise taxes, invade your privacy, and assume that you don't have the sense to make your own decisions? Try voting libertarian for a change. Would you like to meet other libertarians? You'll find they're regular people like you, concerned about the state of our republic and willing to act on that concern. Our business meeting is at 6:30 p.m., the second Thursday of the month, at Prime Sirloin on Woodruff Road across from Greenville Mall. Visitors are welcome. To talk politics, join us for the meetup at 8 p.m. on the fourth Wednesday of the month. It's at Cafe Underground, just off of Main Street downtown. We would love to swap ideas with you for restoring limited constitutional government. Thank you for supporting the Libertarian Party and Christian Worldview on the Tyranny Response Network. And then they have a specific announcement they've asked me to read. They actually sent it to the email and said, please, John, read this on the show today and tomorrow. Timothy Moultrie, who is the 1998 South Carolina Libertarian Party candidate for governor and a longtime friend of the Anderson County Libertarian Party, will be in Anderson on May 26, 2005. That's tomorrow. Anderson and Abbeville County Libertarian Party will meet with StopTax.org. Timothy Moultrie of the StopTax.org, which is an acronym for Stop Taxing Our Property or something like an acronym, is coming up on May 26 to talk with us about the plan to end property tax in South Carolina. Wasn't this one of the promises the governor had made here, the supposedly libertarian governor we currently have, Sanford? He's a very confused man if you read his column in the Times Examiner. He doesn't really understand political philosophy as well as I thought he did or hoped that he would, but he's just really just another one of these rat politicians as far as I can tell. Maybe better than other rats, but hey, you know, I don't know. Was an albino rat better than a black one? Maybe. At least the color is different. Makes your life more colorful. We are meeting on Thursday, May 26th at 6:30 p.m. in the Golden Corral in Anderson. No, that's not a rodeo. That's actually some kind of a food diner. It's kind of like the Prime Sirloin, which is so popular here in Greenville, if you didn't know. It's at 3546 Clemson Boulevard in Anderson. Timothy Moultrie was the 96 South Carolina Libertarian candidate for governor. I thought they said it was a 98. They got to get their ads right. Yeah, they did. Above, they said it was a 98 candidate for governor. Now they say he's a 96 candidate for governor. He'll discuss why we need to end the property tax and how we can pay for our local governments without a property tax. At any rate, this should be an interesting event for everyone, libertarians, constitutionalists, and even you true conservatives among the Republican ranks. I mean, after all, wouldn't we love to be able to eliminate property taxes? I mean, the closer we can get towards an allodial world, allodial meaning real property without any taxation or regulation whatsoever, the better off we would be. And I would love to see us move to that direction. What's the chance, though, of us actually eliminating a property tax? Well, this is a big, obviously a big bugaboo, a big political question. I'm not sure that we ever could, just because governments love to have the kind of power that comes from having the ability to tax property as well as they love being able to fund the public school, our arch enemy. The best thing, in my mind, is not the savings of the money that would come from the loss of the property tax, but the absolute demise I would hope for that would come from the public school. Of course, they're not going to pitch it that way because people are enamored with the public school. They love it. It's just one of their great things in life, the best public policy we have sort of thing, for whatever reason. They love the public school. They wouldn't want to see anything happen to it. So maybe that's partly because the NEA and the teachers' associations are so strong. But nevertheless, it would be nice for me, at any rate, to see the whole thing defunded, collapse in and on itself, and actually people have a choice of either homeschooling or private schooling or no schooling. Yes, you heard it right from me. I'd rather see kids be completely ignorant, without being able to read and write, than go get indoctrinated at the public school with all the nonsense that goes on there. And although that's sad, I think someone in the market would come up with solutions to teach kids how to read and write, just as they used to years ago. Remember the founding fathers and all the folks in that era, they all learned how to read and write. They were very literate folks, and they didn't go to school. They didn't have government providing school for them. They all learned at home or at the church or wherever. And there were some people that were illiterate, but a whole lot less then than there are now, even though we have public education. And it could work, and I believe that it would. Well, you're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. I just noticed we're kind of late for our first break, so I'm going to go and hop over to a break right now, and we'll be back in just a minute.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
This is Dr. John Coben from Christian Worldview. You know, a lot of my listeners call and ask me about allodial land titles, covenant marriage, and other topics of importance to Christians who love liberty. Many of these things I've written about at the policyofliberty.net bookstore called Alertness Books. We invite you to visit the Alertness Books bookstore today and pick up the materials that will help you learn the truth and be free.
The only difference between a taxman and a taxidermist is that the taxidermist leaves the skin. Mark Twain.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben with Integrity Group. Why is it so difficult for Christians to be good stewards of their finances? We know that God works miracles in people's lives, but He has not chosen to provide manna from above to help us meet our needs as He did with the ancient Israelites. As Christians, we should be leading the way as good stewards. Since we do not spend money on vices like non-Christians do, we should be able to save more. We want to work hard and save our money so that we can have something to give to missions and to the needy. In addition, we want to regularly set aside a portion for retirement. Christians should not have to rely on taxpayer-funded government programs for retirement. No Christian wants to become a burden to their family or church during the ever-lengthening period of old age. At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. We are an independent financial planning firm. We specialize in finding creative custom solutions to meet your savings needs. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
Democracy must be something more than two wolves and a sheep voting on what to have for dinner. James Bovard.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177.
Warning, Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview. Had an email this morning from Chuck, one of our faithful listeners, and has been listening to some recent shows and had a comment on this email that came in from Bruce we read the other day. And I was very critical of that that particular email, as you recall. It was a pietistic sort of email that basically said that Christians should just be known as the obedient class, just submitting to whatever the state says or anyone else over them for that matter, family and church, and just show themselves by their sacrifice to be true believers and prayerfully preach the gospel to folks. The pietism is similar to what you find in Dietrich Bonhoeffer's book, cost of discipleship, which I've criticized in a recent Times Examiner article. At any rate, appreciated Bruce writing in. Like, don't mind when people write in who disagree with me, but it was in, you know, as I said, I said what I said about what his what he had to say. And Chuck writes in, I often wondered in younger days, and so I suppose that implies that Chuck is old. Okay. I used to have younger days, too. So that implies that I'm old as well. Hi, John. I often wondered in younger days why Jesus did not go up through the ranks of rabbi training, etc. I cannot see how his very independent path can be reconciled with the view of submission put forth by Bruce. Enjoying your show, Chuck. Well, Chuck, this is an interesting point of view. Of course, the problem with every time we mention Christ himself, someone's going to say, well, he's the Son of God, he didn't have to go to school. Or, well, he's the Son of God, he didn't have to go through what normal people have to go through. Well, he's the Son of God, he had a special mission on the earth. So whatever we try to do on the earth, and I think this is right, by the way, just because Christ didn't try to raise, didn't try to do the right thing in terms of public policy, what we would consider, that's the wrong thing to say. Christ did not involve himself heavily in public policy, that's what I mean to say. Means that we shouldn't either. No, because Jesus did have a special, particular mission. He came to earth basically to live a righteous, perfect life in order to save his church. And so we all aren't doing the same thing that Jesus did in that sense, in terms of his activities. In terms of prayer, in terms of preaching the gospel, we can all do those things. There are certain aspects of his life, and we can certainly strive to live a holy life, which we can never even come close to doing, obviously, being sinners. Nevertheless, there are some things about Christ's life and ministry which we cannot copy, and because they were unique to him. So, at any rate, coming back to Chuck's point here, he seems to pursue a very independent path, and how can it be reconciled with the ideas that Bruce brought up, this dependency, obedience, and so forth? Well, I think Bruce's comments are they have a lot of shortcomings, and Bruce made some egregious errors that many Christians make today, that Christians should not be involved in transforming their culture, that the Christian faith needs to somehow be separated from the rest of life, that our Christian faith is something that we do spiritually on our own. We try to show people by our good works or by our testimony about our faith, and when people try to harm us or persecute us, we basically just lay back and let them, you know, and take it, whatever they give us. Another view, and the view that I hold, is what we call a transformational view, an active view of the Christian life, where the gospel is not just to affect only our churches and our families with spiritual truth, but also to make us salt and light, leaven, in a sense, of infiltrating all of life's venues. Now, I'm not talking about sinful things. There are things we have to completely be apart from. Christians have no right in for instance, making wonderful brothels. We're not interested in those kinds of things. We shouldn't be as Christians. But in terms of promoting the very best public policy, promoting the best kind of science and its endeavors, promoting the best sort of education for our children, these are things which Christians should be involved with. The best kinds of journalism, the best kinds of entertainment or movie making. There's nothing wrong with a Christian trying to take the gospel to every area of life and dominating that area of life with the gospel. The gospel is not just something that we preach. It's part of an entire movement, a cultural change that we must undertake to fulfill God's command us in the dominion mandate in Genesis chapter 1:29, as well as in other parts of the scripture. We see that Christians are active in society. That's a very different view than the pietistic view, which basically says we need to live in isolation from all of the things. We need to not be concerned about other things going on us in the world. We occupy till I come, as Christ said, did not have the same significance as the things that Dr. Coben just said. Instead, we need to be really focused in on ourselves and our own lives, making sure that we're doing the best we can to be holy and raise our families in that way, stay away from the dire influences of the world. Of course, the extreme expression of this is found in the Amish or the strict Mennonites, who don't want anything to do with the world. whatsoever, completely, strictly separated from things. Now, there is a sense in which separation is not necessarily a bad thing if you're talking about public policy itself. What do we want the state to do? This is another question entirely, so I don't want you to be confused on it. There are people who are actively involved in Christian movements to change the world, Operation Rescue. They're actively involved in the political process to one extent or the other, even political parties. But that doesn't mean that we necessarily want the state to have a role of intruding in the lives of people as somehow the hand of God at work in the world. That is a different issue, because people who have an active point of view or a transformational point of view can look at things differently in terms of the state, and we've already expressed that here, the difference between Reconstructionist, for instance, and liberty of conscience point of view. What we're talking about is the far deeper mindset that leads one to completely become absent, or absent himself from the political process, absent himself from the culture itself, in trying to make changes for the sake and the glory of God, for actually moving this world in a progressive way towards the better. Oh, why polish brass on a sinking ship? It ain't worth it, say some. It's just the world is going downhill. Don't you see the decay? The best thing we can do is hovel, hovel over here in our little area and just try to make do the best we can while the evil world continues on its way. I wonder why these people even vote at all, or try to get involved even to the limited extent they do. It's very odd to me, because they might as well just become Amish. It's the most consistent position. I do admire the Amish for being consistent, by the way, even though I don't agree with them. At any rate, the transformational worldview, very important for, I think, the Christian faith and for those who want to make an influence in life. If you're interested in talking about the transformational view, I'd be happy to talk with you about it here at Christian Worldview. Right now, it looks like we're already back through for another break, and we're going to see if we can't head to a break here. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
You're listening to TRN.
Public schools will never excel because they lack intellectual capital and have to compensate for too many social problems. Daniel Golden.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
Life, liberty, and property do not exist because men have made laws. On the contrary, it was the fact that life, liberty, and property existed beforehand that caused men to make laws in the first place. Frederick Bastiat.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a PhD degree in public policy, MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
We welcome you back to Christian Worldview. Currently in the upper 50s in upstate South Carolina, going to get up to the low 70s, predicting 71 degrees under mostly sunny skies today. Should be a pretty nice day in general. A little bit cool for some of you who are the more reptile variety. Yes, you've proven Darwin to be somewhat correct by showing your cold-blooded nature, and you need to have that warmth from that sun, otherwise you feel cold. Well, actually, I'm kidding, obviously. We don't espouse Darwinism here. I'm just being silly. But, yeah, it'll be a little bit cool for you, but for the rest of people, for normal folks, 70 degrees is a pretty good temperature, and that's where we're going to be at today in the upstate under clear skies. You're listening to Christian Worldview. Great show to listen to in the morning. Great talk, great discussion about important issues of the day. I want to remind you folks that we have a new webpage called tyrannyresponse.com. Tyrannyresponse.com contains all of the announcements and so forth that I read here on the show, including the meeting times of different groups and activities, events, as well as related media like the Political Cesspool out in Memphis and the Times Examiner here in the upstate of South Carolina. I encourage you to go to tyrannyresponse.com and have a look at what we've got there. Also have some recent audio files. In fact, all our audio files are on there. The most recent one I've done is the Divine Ordination of States and State Criminals. Does God actually ordain the state? Well, the Apostle Paul says that he does in Romans chapter 13. What does that mean, though? If God ordains something, does it have to be something that's good necessarily as an institution? Certainly, when Paul... let me grab my Bible here. When Paul wrote Romans chapter 13. Yeah, turn that music down, producer. What are you doing? Nobody can hear me over the music. Oh, he can hear me, okay. As long as he can hear me, all right, it's fine. We've got our sub-producer in here. We don't have our normal 14-year-old running the show today, and so things get all messed up when we get an adult in here actually trying to run things. Actually, things also get fixed, because sometimes 14-year-olds aren't aware of how to fix certain things. Like, well, we won't go into all those trivial details. Well, here's what the Apostle Paul says. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. So Nero, being the authority at the time, and all his hoodlums, little Herods running around, these Herods, you know, weren't much better than Nero. You remember, of course, the earlier Herod, slaughtering all the kids in Bethlehem. And I mean, these are nasty people. And God doesn't mind putting out his judgment against these people at times in Acts chapter, I believe it's 11. I've got to check that out. But Herod was eaten by worms and died. Why? Because he did not give glory to God. That's another Herod. Lots of different Herods who are nasty people. And Nero was no different. But yet it says here there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. So therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. Let's read this, just inserting Nero's name in here, and then we'll try Stalin, we'll try maybe Mao and George W. Bush. In fact, maybe we could put them all in here. Let every soul be subject to Mao Zedong, George W. Bush, and Abraham Lincoln. For there is no authority except from God, and Mao Zedong, Joseph Stalin, Nero are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists Nero, Stalin, Mao Zedong, resists the authority or ordinance of God. Now, how does it sound when you read it that way? Let's just read it with one name in there. Let every soul be subject to Nero, for there is no authority except from God, and Nero exists by the appointment of God. Therefore, whoever resists Nero resists the ordinance of God. How do you feel about that? Because that's what those people were reading in the first century. Let's try it with G.W. Bush in here. Let every soul be subject to George W. Bush, for there's no authority except from God, and George W. Bush is appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists George W. Bush resists the ordinance of God. Well, we believe here at Christian Worldview that George W. Bush, Abraham Lincoln, Mao Zedong, Joseph Stalin, yes, Uncle Joe, and a whole host of other evil rulers. Well, it may not. It may be premature to throw George W. Bush up there with all the other mass murderers in history. I think Lincoln belongs in the list. But fair enough. At any rate, people who are evil or semi-evil or on the way to being evil, yeah, they're kind of this halfway house of evilness. What do we do with these kind of people? Anyway, as a Christian, you have to recognize that every one of those people are ordained by God, if this Bible verse is true. Now, I've had some people contending with me by email. Dr. Coben, it's wrong to say that Joseph Stalin was ordained by God. Well, you know, you may not like the fact that God ordains things that are evil, but I don't know how you get around the scripture here that says there is no authority except from God. Now, I'm not saying that God condones the immorality of George W. Bush and his phony, insane wars in Iraq, or perhaps even his involvement in the World Trade Center bombings, or the planes flying into the 9/11 thing, or maybe many other things we could mention about him. He may not like, and I know that he does not like, the evil that Nero inflicted morally upon his own mother by murdering her, or murdering the Christians and putting them on poles and lighting them up at night to illuminate his garden. These things are wicked behaviors, and God does not condone those. And when God says in his word here, the authorities that exist are appointed by God, the Neros, the Stalins, the Maos, the Pol Pots, the FDRs, the Lincolns, when these people are appointed by, they exist, they are appointed by God. He does not mean, folks, he does not mean that he condones their actions. He simply means that he ordains things that tend to be evil or become evil. Why? Well, I don't know, but obviously it serves one of his purposes and brings him glory. God doesn't do anything that doesn't bring him glory. And I know there are two purposes I can tell from the scripture, and there may be more, two primary purposes why evil rulers are allowed to rule and why God appoints them. Number one is because there is the continued sanctification of his church. All things work together for good to those who love God, who are the called according to his purpose. And we can find people actually benefiting in terms of their spiritual sanctification, even living under pirates and plunderers and nasty people like Nero or Joseph Stalin. The second reason is God tends to use these wicked rulers to bring terrestrial judgment upon sinners and then to self-destruct. Look at people like Nebuchadnezzar, for instance. They'll go out and do some action, attack people, kill people. Yes, God even is willing to attack and kill people. That's what the scripture tells us in the Old Testament. I mean, the character of God doesn't change. Do you believe that God's character is any different now than it was when he defeated the Amalekites or whatever these other people are, in the Old Testament, Amorites, the people of Jericho? When that all ended, did God change? Is he like a nicer man now that he's aged a little bit? I don't think that's even fair to even talk about on the air. It's almost sacrilegious to talk of God in that way, but it's almost as if people have that perspective. The New Testament is so different from the Old Testament that God's character has changed. No, his administration in the world has changed. The way he carries things out is different. But God, in and of himself, doesn't have a problem with using states to go and slaughter people. How many Assyrians did he kill in one night with his angel? 185,000. Those are people with families, people who had jobs. They probably, were getting Social Security checks, having their kids going to school on Pell Grants, and they were involved with the welfare state. They were just getting along like every other good American gets along, and God just annihilates them. Well, God is willing to do that kind of thing, and he has the right to do that sort of thing, doesn't he? Does he not? He's God, after all. What are you going to question him as the creature? I'm not. I'll just bow. Hey, whatever you say sounds good to me. You want to kill them all? Fine. You want me to do it for you? Fine, I'll do it. I mean, what else can you do as a creature? Well, here, people don't like this verse. They don't like the idea that God ordains states to do one of these two things, to bring terrestrial judgment on criminals or be wicked in such a way that the church ends up being sanctified. So, I don't know what to tell you other than this is what the Bible has to say. I'd be happy to discuss it with you on the air here if you have a burning desire to bring it up. This is Christian Worldview, after all, and we're interested in discussing the nature of the state. And I brought this all up to say earlier that the whole idea of ordination of states and appointment of states, not necessarily implying that the state is good or a good institution or ruler, or any particular ruler is good, of course, it's a wrong idea to think that. Christians believe, and I had a former show host, talk show host, who actually believed that divine ordination meant that the institution of the state was a good thing. It just ain't so, folks. Historically, it isn't so. Biblically, it's not so. When the apostle wrote this about Nero, it's not so. I'm going to read it to you again. Did somebody have in their mind when they're reading the Romans chapter 13, one of these Roman Christians in the first century, Paul's telling us how wonderful an institution the state is. Yeah, right. Let every soul be subject to Nero, for there is no authority except from God, and Nero and Herod are appointed by God. Therefore, who resists Nero and Herod resists the ordinance of God. Were they getting from that when they read that from Paul, that Nero and Herod were good folks, or that the institution they represented was a good thing, the state? I don't think so. That I don't think is even plausible. It's laughable to come up with such an interpretation of the scriptures. And yet, you know what? It's one of the most common interpretations you find among evangelical Christians today. Sad to say. Christians who believe and it's almost an excuse for them. Well, we don't have to get involved with politics that much. I mean, if this is God's doing, the state's a good thing. It brings us order and nice things in society we wouldn't have without a state. I mean, there'd be anarchy otherwise. And they say, well, we've got to just trust the state. God is moving in it the right way. We vote according to what we can and try to keep the evildoers out as much as possible. Instead, we put people like George Bush in there and help him get elected, blah, blah, blah. But that's about it. They don't actually want to fight for liberty. They don't actually want to fight for the right things as the Founding Fathers did. I mean, what do they actually think about the Founding Fathers? Ever ask one of these preachers who condemns the Founding Fathers? Why are you condemning the Founding Fathers? You know, what is the problem with them? Why is it that the Founding Fathers did what they did? Were they in sin? Were the Founding Fathers actually sinning against God when they, after just coming out of the Great Awakening? Remember, these are serious Christians for the most part, literate Christians, understanding the Puritan heritage. These people fought against George III in Parliament over a paltry tax, and because they wanted to restore their own personal liberties. We let us get stomped on. We vote for entitlement programs. We are lovers of slavery rather than lovers of liberty in our land. Totally different than those people were at that time. Well, were they really in sin, or are we just blinded? Well, I think the latter is true, folks, and it's because of these faulty interpretations that come up about the ordination of the state. So this is a big deal. Okay, this is a big deal. Somebody was telling me that the producer was flagging me down, saying someone was trying to call into the show and would like to encourage you to call back again. We always enjoy people calling the show, and sometimes our phone system is at least something to be desired, and for some reason we lost the call there, so please call back again. Can you see the problem here, folks? I'm trying to set up for you. You've got people who believe a wrong view of the state, that divine ordination of the state implies that people that run the government or the institution of the government is a good thing, and therefore their actions should be curtailed, that the people who did things like the American Revolution or the War for Independence were wrong. They were in sin. Nothing could be further from the truth. It's our perception that has been marred and has caused us to go astray in our understanding of a public policy theology. They understood it correctly, and we need to change our ways and understand it better as well. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We've come up to another break, and we'll be back in just a minute.
You're listening to TRN.
You're listening to the Tyranny Response Network. Go ahead, make your day.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Aren't we glad that we aren't at public school today?
Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins.
Welcome back to Christian Worldview. Glad you're listening this morning. I know it's a little bit deep, the discussion this morning about Romans 13 and the divine ordination of states, but I hope you can see how important this little doctrine is. There are several things which, if you don't understand correctly from the outset, causes the whole building to be built on a slant or on a shaky foundation. You've got to get understanding correct about what the nature of the state is and about what the Christian's relationship to public policy is if you're going to ever hope to have a proper theology, and little things like what exactly it means that the state is ordained and appointed by God are just crucial in the Christian understanding. So be happy to talk to you about this on the phone. If you'd like to give us a call, our backup line is what's working today. It's 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. You know, every once in a while, this Unusually Stupid Americans book by Kath Lerin and Roth Petrus sits in the studio. And I just got to chuckle when I go back and read some of these again. That one of my favorites is this one on page 253. This is in a chapter called The Idiot Next Door. The Dairy Queen worker accepts $200 bill, gives $197 in change. A clerk at the Dairy Queen in Danville, Kentucky, accepted a $200 bill from a customer who bought $2.12 worth of food. The customer received her change and drove away. Not only is there no such thing as a $200 bill, but the note in question had on the back an oil well, while on the front it was a portrait of George W. Bush. And on the White House lawn were signs reading, "We like broccoli," and rooms for not for rent. Cute. And so somebody accepted that bill. Well, what can you say? At any rate, there are a few funny things that happen out of this book. A man hires a hitman, tries to pay in cows. Maybe it's not so stupid, really. What if you need a hit arranged that are low on money? Find out what else you have. That's what 64-year-old farmer in Alaska did in 2001. He wanted a hit on his best friend's ex-wife. Why? Don't ask. And of course, instead of finding a real hitman, managed to contact an undercover cop. But the odd part about it was the price he agreed to pay: $300 cash, and four cows on the hoof. Ugh. Funny things. Well, it's sad, too, but funny things. Here's the other one that really gets me, this people that don't understand their own money system. A bank teller deposits $1 million bill. A woman approached a not-amazingly astute teller at the First National City Bank of Newport in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. She gave the teller a single bill, $1 million bill. The teller didn't bat an eye. He just took the bill, or she just took the bill. And credited the woman's account for $1 million. For the record, the largest denomination note in circulation is the $100 bill. Anyway, once in a while, we'll keep picking up this Unusually Stupid Americans book, especially those pages. Those are very amusing to me. I like to read them. Why? Because I don't think the bank teller or the Dairy Queen worker or the farmer were homeschooled. I don't even think they went to a good Christian school. I think these people are the idiot products of the public school system, which is our great foe here, I think, in the United States of America. We have a couple things to remind you of. Don't forget this that this evening at the Cafe Underground, the Libertarians are meeting at 8 o'clock to talk about libertarian ideas, free markets, and policy. Be sure to attend if you have a chance and be in downtown Greenville this evening, the Libertarian Cafe Underground for the Libertarian Meetup, Cafe Underground. In addition, tomorrow night in Anderson, Timothy Moultrie, who was either the 1996 or 1998 South Carolina Libertarian candidate for governor, is before I was here, and this notice has both dates. Anyway, he's been a longtime friend of Anderson County Libertarian Party. We'll be there to talk about StopTax.org. That's Stop Paying Tax on Our Property. They're coming up to discuss their plan to end property tax in South Carolina. You may be interested in attending this meeting May 26th at 6:30 p.m. at the Golden Corral in Anderson. The Golden Corral is new. It's at 3546 Clemson Boulevard in Anderson. So make sure you attend if you can. In addition to that, I wanted to let you know tomorrow evening at 6:30 p.m. there is a meeting of the League of the South. I think this is the second or third meeting for the Greenville chapter of the League of the South. They're meeting at the Prime Sirloin Restaurant off of Woodruff Road in Greenville. That's across from the Greenville Mall. Hope you can attend this meeting as well. They're going to have a very special speaker there that evening. Yours truly, the Tyranny Response Unit, has been invited to speak there to the crowd that will show up for the League of the South meeting. It's a great group, and we hope you can get involved with this very astute organization that's been so wrongly criticized by the liberal media for their stands on different issues. Interestingly enough, they're very much in favor of the stands that we favor here. Notably, secession from the rest of the North, or the rest of the United States up north. I try to convince them, and I don't think it's too hard to do, that many Western states would probably like to secede from those groups in the Northeast as well. They just think differently than we do. Somehow the Yankee mindset has become a deleterious and heinous thing, and the way those people live in the North at the moment is a shameful thing, philosophically and otherwise. If you haven't been up there lately, go take a visit and you'll see exactly what I mean. I don't know why it is that people in the Northeast behave the way they do, but they do, and they have very different views. In fact, I was just speaking with a relative who lives up north about things like wars in Hiroshima and dropping the nuke there and elsewhere, Iraq, it didn't matter. And their philosophy was, well, just the way the world works, you know, we've got to bomb a bunch of people and kill a bunch of people in order to make things, you know, more free over time. Look at us. Look at the Japanese, how much better off they are since we, you know, slaughtered, you know, a couple hundred thousand or whatever number of people are with that bomb. If we hadn't slaughtered all those people, we wouldn't have had to move towards liberty. Well, that sort of weird pragmatism that has no basis in the Christian worldview is not something we espouse. We also don't espouse all their lame tactics to go and put women in the military and then use women as sort of these sex moguls or whatever they are to go around and mess with these men. You see the pictures on Fox News, of course, with genitalia all covered up so you can't see these nude men lined up with this woman walking around, you know, making fun of them, or I don't know what she's doing. She shouldn't be there, and she was taunting them, torturing them with these unethical practices. If we are in a defensive war at some point, I think it's right for Christians to be in a defensive war, but I don't think it's right for Christians to sin while they're in a defensive war posture. It's just wrong for them to go out and do things sexually like this during a wartime, or any time for that matter. It wasn't. If you listen to the video, Warriors of Honor, the DVD, you'll see totally different mindset from men like Robert E. Lee and Thomas Jonathan Stonewall Jackson and their Christian faith as they brought it into defensive war against the aggressing Yankee army. Totally different than the Yankee mindset. At any rate, that's because they still held to a Christian worldview, which is what we're espousing here. We are not in favor of any of these ridiculous arguments that they have in favor of obliterating people, or the pragmatism, or the use of sinful activities in any sort of warfare event. What else have we got on the agenda today? Well, the research department has sent us related notes. No Women in Combat passes the House. The House Armed Services Committee approved the overall measure early Thursday. On a 61-1 vote, women in the military would be barred from serving in direct ground combat roles. People say, well, why? Aren't they liberated? Can't they do? Well, there's a few reasons. I mean, you know, one, I mean, I don't think this has anything to do with the Christian worldview or chivalrous view where we need to care for women. One thing is men are raised, even those who go into the military, to prefer women. And it's really hard just to leave a woman there wounded and so forth. And it would probably hinder combat operations. The other is just the fact they don't have the same average physical strength. I know there's some Brutus women out there, but for the most part, it's not the case, and it would slow things down a little bit. I do remember when I played high school football. This was back, and I wasn't any, believe me, I was no star, but we played against one team who had a Samoan woman who started as a tackle. Yeah, I mean, she was a big woman, could bench press, 300 pounds. But she was a very unusual woman. She's not the typical Barbie doll styled woman or woman that many men might be interested in just to look at. But she was big, and she could if you taunted her, went after her, tried to hit her where you shouldn't, she'd still put you down pretty fast. She was a pretty mean old thing. Something again that proves Darwinism might have a hope in the world. I'm just kidding. And I didn't mention her name. I'm not being mean to her. We don't want to talk and put people down because of physical characteristics. I'm just saying that for the most part, women do not have that kind of unusual strength, and that may be one reason they stay out of the battlefield. Military has plenty of other reasons, I'm sure, too, like the relationship between men and women. Faith under fire. Christian in mental hospital over Islam switch. Doctors say he'll be there until he recants conversion. This is from worldnetdaily.com. Doctors in a Cairo mental hospital are holding Egyptian Christian against his will, telling the man he'll be a permanent resident there till he recants his faith and returns to Islam, reports a leading monitor of Christian persecution. Reminiscent of tactics of communists in the USSR who put dissidents in mental hospitals, the forced stay, according to the Voice of the Martyrs, has been in effect since January. At that time, the adoptive parents of Ghassar Mohammed Mahmoud, 30, committed him to the El Kankak Hospital after learning he had converted from Islam to Christianity 2 years later. Reports the Voice of the Martyrs, the hospital medical committee placed Mahmoud under the care of a female physician identified only as Dr. Naveen, whom sources describe as a fanatic Muslim, since has forced confinement. His forced confinement, Mahmoud has reportedly endured beatings, whippings, and potentially fatal injections. Ooh. Visiting Cairo yesterday, First Lady Laura Bush praised Egypt for making political reforms and agreed those changes were being implemented at the proper pace, slowly, and probably was referring directly to the Mahmoud. She probably enjoys seeing what happens to him, for all I know. I have no confidence in the faith of either of this pair occupying the White House. Well, this is a very sad thing for Mahmoud. It's difficult in Islamic countries to ever change your religion. Of course, it's a capital crime to do so. And when somebody takes such a bold stand to convert from Islam to Christianity, you know the man's got to be serious, because he's not going to do it on a flippancy, because his life's on the line for doing it. So we can remember this man from the Voice of the Martyrs in prayer, and we can be thankful that God is working in Egypt in spite of the fact this poor man has to suffer at the hands of this doctor. What else is happening in the news? Oh, time for a break. Man, things time just flies here. We're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be back in just a minute.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben with Integrity Group. Let's consider Christian stewardship in terms of financial planning. Saving, eliminating debt, lessening the burdens that can accompany a serious illness or accident. One of the most important reasons that we acquire life, disability, and long-term care insurance is because we want to love our neighbors as ourselves. After all, what kind of testimony do we give if we actually plan to rely on the charity of others? If we love others, especially our church and family members, we should do careful financial planning. Some Christians have 401k plans that need to be rolled over into a better investment alternative. Still others need to protect their wives and children by purchasing some inexpensive life or health insurance. At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service. As an independent financial planning firm with a wide range of products, we're here to help you become a better financial steward. Find out about our many services at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
This is Dr. John Coben from Christian Worldview. You know, a lot of my listeners call and ask me about allodial land titles, covenant marriage, and other topics of importance to Christians who love liberty. Many of these things I've written about at the policyofliberty.net bookstore called Alertness Books. We invite you to visit the Alertness Books bookstore today and pick up the materials that will help you learn the truth and be free.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And we're welcoming you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Currently in the upper 50s in the upstate or the upcountry of South Carolina. Going to get up to about 71 degrees today under mostly sunny skies, so it should be a great day. While we're off to work inside our air-conditioned, climate-controlled environments. At any rate, interesting story from the research staff came up about this sign. I believe it's in North Carolina in Danieltown, Rutherford County. I believe it's North Carolina. Correct me if I'm wrong. Someone call and tell me if I'm mistaken about the state here because it wasn't clear to me where it came from. But I understand other people are hot talking about this, so we might as well mention it as well. Do you think that they will win any Muslims is the question from the research staff. The church sign that sparks debate, this little sign on the side of the road says, the Quran needs to be flushed. Tune in Tuesdays into Tuesday's Truths, WGMA 1520 AM at 3 PM. The Quran needs to be flushed. Well, this is a sign in front of the Baptist Church on one of the most traveled highways in the country stirred controversy over religious tolerance and First Amendment's rights this weekend. A sign in front of the Danieltown Baptist Church is located at 2326 U.S. 221 South, reads, "The Quran needs to be flushed," and the Reverend Creighton Loveless, pastor of the church, is not apologizing for the display. He says, "I believe it is a statement supporting the Word of God, and that it, the Bible, is above all, and that any other religious book that does not teach Christ as Savior and Lord as the 66 books of the Bible teaches it is wrong," said Lovelace. "I knew that whenever we decided to put that sign up, there would be people who wouldn't agree with it, and there would be some that would, and so we just have to stand up for what's right." Well, you have to appreciate this, that this guy has taken a stand. He's not fearing men, he's actually doing the right thing. At least in his mind, and I agree with him. Why wouldn't we want to flush the Quran? I mean, what good has false religion been in the world today? It doesn't matter that people's feelings are going to be hurt. I mean, did Jesus really worry, or Paul, that someone's feelings might be hurt when he preached him the truth? It doesn't mean he has to bash them for it with it or be cruel. But if you tell somebody they're a sinner, if you tell them they're a whitewashed tomb or full of dead men's bones, I mean, these kinds of things, you're not necessarily trying to be sensitive and worried about what they might feel, how their feelings might get hurt. You aren't interested in telling them the truth. And the Quran is an evil book. It's a book that promotes a doctrine of devils. It's a book that promotes something that is evil against the Christian worldview. So why shouldn't a preacher come right out and say that? Well, he should say that. And this guy's done this with this sign in North Carolina. Does anyone disagree with that? I don't see how you can and have a Christian worldview. I wouldn't even say it goes against wisdom to promote it. I mean, that's an argument people make. It's sort of the pragmatist saying, well, Father, we're just worrying that this is not the wisest course and how we ought to pursue this sort of thing. Yeah, what a bunch of mealy-mouthed, milquetoast sort of nonsense. I mean, this is simply claptrap that comes from people who have a fear of man. They don't want to stand up for the truth. And this pastor is taking a stand, is taking some heat for it right now. So I say rally behind him and support him. He says, what else do we have in this article? Simi Riley, a Muslim who was born in Pakistan and reared in New York, was one of those upset by the sign. She moved to Rutherford County for the small-town friendly atmosphere, she said. When she saw the sign on the side of the highway Saturday, she felt angered and threatened. Yeah, the pastor was probably going to run out and beat her. We need a certain degree of tolerance, said Riley. That sign doesn't really reflect what I think this country is about. Well, you don't really understand what this country is about. Free speech is guaranteed by the First Amendment. Private property rights is where this sign is. It's on a piece of private property. It's also guaranteed by the Fourth or Fifth Amendment, as well as elsewhere. This is what this country is about. It's not what it's about or has become in recent years as neocons have taken over the reins. In fact, even the last 150 years have been a downhill slide. But nevertheless, you're wrong, Riley. You don't understand what this country is about. And what this pastor's done is not only principled, but he's certainly within his constitutional rights to do so, to say what he thinks and to do what he wishes on private property. Now, you might make some case if you brought that into your public school system or something, because it is, after all, a public school system. But besides that, at any rate, this is an interesting article. I'm not going to read the rest of the story. There are a couple things highlighted here in the by the research staff. Maybe I'll read those highlights. It must be interesting if it pointed out to me by some of the researchers. Danieltown Baptist Church belongs to the Sandy Run Baptist Association, and the association's director of missions, the Reverend Jim Dale, said that Loveless's opinion does not necessarily reflect that of the organization. What a cop-out. Oh, well, we might think the Quran doesn't need to be flushed. We don't think it's such a bad thing. You know, I don't know. What would Loveless say? Following the religious controversy at a church in Waynesville, where several members were asked to leave in what was termed a dispute over politics, several groups threatened to boycott the entire town due to the actions of one preacher. There's nothing better that could ever happen to this town, by the way, this advertising. Everybody will probably go there now and buy gas and eat at the restaurant. So best thing you ever had in that town was this to go, this guy, this pastor. Go ahead and let him try to boycott the town. What a stupid liberal idea, anyway, boycott a town. What does that even mean? Interesting story here by the research staff. Glad you brought us up to the date on the signage issue of flushing the Quran. You know, we flush lots of things here on Christian Worldview. We don't have a problem saying that. And although my education and training is not primarily in theology and so forth, and therefore I don't take on false religions, I think it would be a noble cause to do so. Why not? Flush them every day on the radio. And Mormonism, the Jehovah's Witnesses, the Christian Science Movement, Unitarianism, Islam, Buddhism, flush them all. They're all evil things. They all detract from the gospel of Jesus Christ and our mission here in the world. And I'm not talking about coming up with arms and just lining them up and shooting them, but I mean philosophically, with your mouth, just saying the truth about these things. They're lies from Satan. The scripture tells us in Proverbs 23:23, it's one of my favorite verses in the Bible, buy the truth and do not sell it. That's pretty simple, isn't it? That's a pretty simple concept. Buy the truth and do not sell it. It doesn't say buy the truth and then, you know, buy a few other little trinkets along the side like Islam or the Quran. This is nonsense. These things need to be cast down. The Apostle Paul tells us that we need to be in the business of casting down every argument that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Does the Quran exalt itself against the knowledge of God? Yes. So blast the thing. In terms of the field and endeavors that I work in, public policy kinds fields, we also need to be about the business of blasting it. That the public policy of the day is a neocon philosophy. It's based on secular humanism. It's based on a Darwinian understanding of the world. These things need to be torn down, blasted. I don't need to show any sympathy to these views. They've never been sympathetic to me and mine. I mean, when has the government or the liberal establishment ever helped me as an evangelical Christian or a pro-life libertarian? It hasn't. It hates me for what I stand for. And frankly, I hate what they have to say, and I'm going to use whatever abilities God gives me to fight against it, and I think others should as well. So nothing wrong with that as far as I'm concerned. You may have a different point of view. If you do, Or even if you don't, if you want to call and agree, remember the backup number today is 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. All right, a couple more stories here. In fact, before we go to a story, we really need to give a couple announcements. I haven't done very well on announcements today. I have announced a libertarian event coming up, but I want to also give a plug for the Times Examiner. The Times Examiner is a weekly publication that contains great articles and stories. The columnists are just wonderful. They're worth the price of the paper, which is only $25 a year. If you live out of state, it's $27 a year. Not very expensive, folks. And guess what? You get to read Walter Williams, Thomas Sowell, Joe Sobran, Charlie Reese, as well as local favorites like Ben Graydon and myself, the Tyranny Response Unit, John Coben. There are some neocons in there and some folks you're going to think, why am I reading that? They have the Sheen family writing about homeschooling, which is also interesting. All of this stuff is available on a weekly basis, plus the truth revealed about the neocons and liberals running politics in the upstate of South Carolina. You can get a copy of this thing sent to you every week by calling 864-268-0576, 864-268-0576 to get the Times Examiner sent to you every week. The paper, of course, needs your support, not only from subscriptions, but for those of you who have businesses. Advertising is not expensive, and you get pretty good amount of circulation for your advertising dollars. And we hope you'll also call Bob Dill and take out an ad and help support this paper so that they can financially continue their fight. 864-268-0576 as they begin to, or they continue to promote the truth. All right, another story from that came up in the research staff this morning. Just take my freedoms, it says. Bush administration asks for more unconstitutional Gestapo-like police powers. Washington Post.com, FBI asks U.S. Congress for power to seize documents. This is reported by Alan Elsner from Reuters, Tuesday, May 24th. The FBI on Tuesday asked the U.S. Congress for sweeping new powers to seize business or private records, ranging from medical information to book purchases, to investigate terrorism without first securing approval from a judge. Valerie Caproni, FBI, how can the Congress violate the Constitution like this? Are they actually going to even consider this thing? What do they think, the Congress, if the people vote on it, the Fourth Amendment doesn't, it's just maddening. The Fourth Amendment doesn't matter anymore. Doesn't matter. Congress isn't bound by this. They can do what they want. Sad. But Christians, we just need to be pious and obedient, not really contend with this stuff. It's just nonsense. This vision that many Christians have of not being active in their world is just a wrong-headed move. At any rate, Valerie Caproni, FBI General Counsel, told the U.S. Senate Intelligence Committee her agency needed the power to issue what is known as administrative subpoenas to get information quickly about terrorist plots and the activities of foreign agents. It's all about terrorism. This shows you that there may be something to the whole theory that we've heard so well put on here on Christian Worldview when Alex Jones was here, for instance, on the phone with us, that 9/11 was the doing of the U.S. government. That had something to do with it. Why? Because they get all sorts of benefits from it. Not only more jobs and more money, they get to deny Americans their liberties right and left under the name or guise of a terrorism threat. And take sweeping new powers unto itself away from people. Civil liberties groups have complained about the subpoenas, which would cover medical tax, gun purchase, book purchase, travel, and other records, and could be kept secret, would give the FBI too much power and could infringe on privacy and free speech. This type of subpoena authority would allow investigators to obtain relevant information quickly on terrorism investigations, where time is often of the essence, Caproni testified. Well, she's wrong. She's doing something that's wicked. We don't want the FBI or any other government agency to have that kind of power. And it's sad to see that that it's coming down to that here in America. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and I think we're about coming up to a time for another quick break here. And when we come back, we'll entertain your phone calls once again, 864-201-6955. We'll be back in just a minute.
Disinfecting the modern mainstream media. Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins.
Just because you do not take an interest in politics doesn't mean politics won't take an interest in you. Pericles.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is your captain speaking. We want to thank you for flying TRN Airways. Now, if you'll just look out of your left side window, you can see the dense clouds of liberal lunacy commonly polluting the airwaves. On the right side, you can see clear skies full of common sense, liberty-minded conversation. Now, as we enter the Christian worldview airspace, we'll be experiencing clear-headed thinking, and we'll soon be reaching logical conclusions. Feel free to recline your seat and enjoy the remainder of the flight. And thank you for flying TRN Airways.
The worst crime against working people is a company which fails to operate at a profit. Samuel Gompers.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
And today, Fox News is reporting that Amnesty International slams the United States in a report. London Amnesty International branded the U.S. prison camp in Guantanamo Bay a human rights failure Wednesday, releasing a 308-page report that offers stinging criticism of the United States and its detention centers around the world. As a superpower, the United States has shirked its responsibility to set the bar for human rights protections and has instead created a new lexicon for abuse and torture, Amnesty Secretary General Irene Khan said to the London-based group's annual report launch. The United States sets the tone for governmental behavior worldwide. Khan said, that's sad. If that's the case, then we truly are in the case of tyranny all over the world. We already knew that, but it's sad to see the United States has done what it has done. A couple other announcements we want to let you know about. The Institute on the Constitution is going to come up next Monday evening. If you want to register or attend, that's at the South Point Baptist Church, 203 Ina Marie Lane in Pelzer. Call Pastor Tony Romo at 864-269-1443. That's 864-269-1443. Also want to remind you that even though the League of the South meeting is going on this Thursday, the fourth Thursday of the month, next month it will be on the third Thursday of the month, and it's at Prime Sirloin, 6:30 to 8:30. I'll be speaking this evening. That's actually tomorrow night. I'll be speaking there at the coming up meeting. It's moving to the third Thursday of the month because it has a conflict with the Greenville County Taxpayers meeting, which has been meeting on the fourth Thursday for a long time at the Greenville Library downtown from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Be sure to attend some of these meetings. Get involved as a thinking Christian in what's going on in the world around you here in the upstate of South Carolina. It's important that you do so. All these tidbits that I've been giving you, different events, the related media, local events, the audio files such as that I mentioned about the Liberty Minutes and the divine ordination of states, the American roles and responsibilities and attitudes towards so-called rebellion, those different audio files as well as some products that we have are all available for your viewing on the Tyranny Response Network website. It's called tyrannyresponse.com, tyrannyresponse.com. Hope you visit today. If you miss anything that I'm mentioning on the air, you were driving along, didn't have a pencil and paper to write down a phone number or website address, be sure to go there to tyrannyresponse.com. You'll find all the information noted for you. One final announcement. The Nationalist Times is a politically incorrect monthly newspaper that has reported on the progress of the Christian Worldview program since it began. TRN listeners can obtain a free postpaid sample copy by calling Nelson at 864-642-4315. Visit the Times website, anu.org. Mention this ad for a big discount on your subscription. The Nationalist Times picks up where the liberal media leave off and salutes Dr. Coben's pioneering broadcast work. And we thank you for that kudo. It's very important to us here at the show. Well, we have another report come up from the research staff here at the Tyranny Response Network. The Humanists Blind Science. This is from World Net Daily. In a now-famous Scopes trial of 1925, the American Civil Liberties Union defended the teaching of evolution in public schools. True educational freedom, Clarence Darrow argued, requires the teaching of both theistic and naturalistic versions of origin. Any person with a well-rounded education should know the differing views on something as important as the most basic question in the universe. Now, I don't think for a split second the ACLU in 1925 was nearly so well-intentioned as to simply want academic freedom for all. But the case should be made that a well-educated person should understand the arguments for and against the major theories and how we got here. Okay. Skipping on in the article, he says, red-faced veins bulging, these radical liberals verbally assault conservatives that seek the true educational freedom of teaching of both Darwinism, or Darwinian evolution, and creation. Instead of believing in God as the basis for the religion, humanists believe in nature or natural science naturalism. The reason is supposedly to avoid resisting an intellectual foundation on what secularists call blind faith. Dr. D.J. Lindsay agrees and describes the intellectual underpinnings of evolution this way. Evolution is a religion that attributes everything to nature. It demands faith that is totally blind. Since the evolutionist believes nature and its laws are the guiding force in the universe, he is totally at odds with the Christian faith and the essential miraculous aspect of creation. The miraculous events of the Bible deviate from the known laws of nature, or at least from our understanding of them. However, the evolutionist is blind to the fact that his religion, evolution, violates every known law for its own existence, making atheistic evolution more incredible and miraculous than the Christian faith. It is their preference to believe this thing. Don't ever think for a minute they have the intellectual high ground, because they don't. Anything that calls into question the original presupposition that there is no God is rejected, even if it means having a faith in an idea, belief in a theory that is mathematically not possible, and even if it contradicts bedrock scientific facts or the laws of physics. Their version of science must be blind itself to local deductions logical deductions in order to draw the conclusion they prefer. 4 years after the ACLU worked the Scopes trial, Professor D.M.S. Watson, one of the leading biologists and science writers of his day, explained that the real goal behind evolution is to reject the alternative of belief in God. Watson notes, evolution is a theory universally accepted not because it can be proven by logically coherent evidence to be true, but because the only alternative, special creation, is clearly incredible or unbelievable. They're interested that materialism be an absolute, for we cannot allow a divine foot in the door, is what one of the evolutionists said, named Richard Lewontin. And that's what it's all about, folks. This Darwinism, and I appreciate the research staff sending this up, because Darwinism is all about displacing the Christian worldview and promoting a godless philosophy, a godless worldview. And that's what they're primarily after. It is an incredible thing to believe in evolution. It's an incredible thing to believe in some theory like the Big Bang, which is widely discredited now. How did the universe begin? I mean, if God didn't create it, where did everything start with? It wasn't with evolution. It was some sort of bang that somehow created order that just by some chance life began to evolve on some planet somewhere called Earth in this vast, vast universe. It's a bizarre system that requires all sorts of faith to adhere to. Now, again, not my field of expertise, but very essential to the Christian worldview is an understanding of creationism and the alternative, I think. And I think you're right about this. We need to understand the alternative in the same way we need to understand something about false religions. The alternative, being Darwinian evolution, is a theory based on people that do not, promoted by people that do not have a Christian worldview. But the humanist has a blind science. Let's not ever think it's true science, because it takes a whole lot of faith to believe in a Big Bang or that, you know, slime can evolve into a human being and so forth. It's a lot of nonsense, but nevertheless very popular. We're going to go and take our final break before we come into our last segment of Christian Worldview. Glad you've joined us this morning. Hope we're helping you think a little bit more deeply today as we read some of these top stories of as they reflect to the, or relate to the Christian worldview. We'll be back in just a minute.
You're listening to TRN.
Tired of superficial and dull talk radio? Try some ear candy for thinking people. Listen to Liberty Minute with Dr. John Coben.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben. That's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
That was a shorter break than we planned. Sorry for the silence there, folks. We're trying to be we got a new producer here this morning, and he doesn't wave the right kind of flags. We were talking about something very interesting off the air. Been a lot of debate, as some of you know, over the Christian worldview, particularly with the divine ordination issue. What does it mean that God ordains all things, particularly states and individual rulers? What does it mean that Nero's and Pol Pot's and Hitler's and Abraham Lincoln's were ordained? This is an interesting idea. I've written about it, and it's in this week's Times Examiner. Should be at your in your mailbox today if you're a subscriber. And be sure to pick it up and turn right to page 10. It's always important to turn to page 10 because that's where Dr. Coben's column is. And you'll always have to have if you're doing it early in the morning, you always want to make sure you have two cups of coffee before you start reading it, because it's going to be something that's going to make you think a little more deeply. Some people who profess have a Christian worldview, in effect, do not have a Christian worldview. They believe that God is out of control, that does not have anything to do with ordinations of states. In fact, they just deny flatly what the Scripture seems to teach. And we were discussing that over the break again. Some emails have been coming in, not particularly the shows. So we wouldn't want to read them necessarily on the air here, but just emails coming into the research staff here and the production staff at the Tyranny Response Network. Interesting ideas. What about God's role in the world? Is he active or is he passive? Does God just allow things to happen and really hold his breath, twiddle his thumb, and get a little bit anxious? Is God really the kind of God that just hopes that people will be saved? Or he just hopes that people will be holy, or the church will do its job? And just watching the football game at halftime is disappointed with the way his team is playing. Is this really our picture of God? I mean, what kind of a Christian worldview do we have when God not only is not sovereign, but allows so many things to be outside of his control? Is that really, truly God? R.C. Sproul has once said, if you don't believe in the sovereignty of God, then you're an atheist. The only two choices you have are to believe in God being sovereign over all affairs of human life or the universe in general, and there's no maverick molecule out of his control, or God ceases to be God, and the only choice you have is to be an atheist. I think he's right about that. You may disagree, but I'd like to hear why and how you can have a God who's not in control of everything and ordaining everything. It's just mind-boggling to me to believe that some Christians have been reared up in a system of theology in some way where they don't see God having ultimate control and sovereignty in the world and the affairs of men and everything. I believe that there was a divine ordination that America came into existence. I believe we're a special nation, that we have a constitution and a declaration of independence that's unparalleled in the history of the world because God wanted to show forth his righteousness in a special way, not only in our land, but to promote the missions work and things that we've had in our land as a result of being free. I think it was God's plan. I don't think it was accidental. I don't think it was just a good play that, yeah, they did a double reverse and the guy got, 50 extra yards than he would have normally in some football play, that they did a good job and a good strategy and defeated the devil on this one time. No, I don't think it has anything to do with man's will or ingenuity. It has everything to do with God ordaining the founding of our great country. Now, some people may not believe that, and apparently there's some who don't. We're getting an email from one particular source. It's interesting to read. But just how far off the rocker he is, or how far afield, as far as I'm concerned, he is from the Christian worldview is just astounding. At any rate, going to get back to another quick story here, possibly. I know we're running close to time. Maybe we're not going to have time for a quick story. Didn't even get our callers on the line today. Sorry about that. We had one person who was calling in, and then we ended up unable to do that. Let me just finish with this quick, let's see, what have we got here? Anything quick here? Well, I don't know if we've got time for even a quick one. Maybe we do. Court upholds a forced financing of beef ads. The court upholds a forced financing of beef ads. The beef industry officials and the U.S. Secretary of Agriculture have won their battle to maintain a $1 per head of cattle assessment to finance advertisements aimed at persuading people to eat more red meat. But some ranchers and others in the beef industry complain that the congressionally mandated industry-wide funding requirement forced many beef producers to pay for advertising they did not support. In an important First Amendment ruling, the U.S. Supreme Court Monday upheld the 1985 Beef Act. In a 6-3 decision, the High Court said the Beef Act did not violate constitutional protections against coerced speech. From the Christian Science Monitor on Tuesday. It's what's for dinner, whether you like it or not. Why in the world does government get involved with regulating the food industry at all anyway? I mean, has it really gotten better? Is the quality of food that we have any better because of political manipulation? I don't think so. I mean, people will say, well, without government involvement, we're going to have, you know, snake oil salesmen and things like that. You know what? That's right. You will have imperfections that markets allow, and you will have them suffer as a kind of reputation issues, and people will have to think more before they actually buy a product. That's all true. But you know what? Government failure could be worse than the market's failure. If the market really is failing, so to speak, and not providing perfection, if we use perfection as a standard, surely governments have provided far greater and more egregious failures and problems. Why in the world economically we want to support government intervention? I don't think we do. I think it's against the Christian worldview to allow governments to have any hand at all in economic affairs. That's a good note to end, I think, the show today, Christian Worldview. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Glad that you did. Look forward to seeing you again right here, same place, tomorrow on the Tyranny Response Network.
You've been listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben on TRN. Join us again tomorrow morning right here at 97.7 FM on the Tyranny Response Network for Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben with Integrity Group. Why is it so difficult for Christians to be good stewards of their finances? We know that